This is a message that was recorded at Word of Life, a London City church in Lewisham, London. May God bless you as you listen.
There was an addiction. We are in addiction. Okay. How to set them free. How many of you believe that they can be set free?
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. They can be set free. And I want to start by saying that doing this series on addiction has been an eye-opener for me. I don't know about you, but having to look at quite a few stories and the research I've done, I've realized that, look, listen, there's a lot of people out there suffering. Amen. And I believe that everyone who is addicted to one thing or the other actually needs help. And I've discovered that the help they need is not just rehabilitation. Amen. They need physical, emotional, and spiritual help. I was speaking to a friend of mine some few days ago on the train. And as we spoke, I realized that a lot of the time we deal with the surface and not the root cause of the problem. Do you know firefighters know the danger of trying to put out fire from the top? You know that when you try to put the fire off from the top, it spreads. So where do you think they kill the fire from? From the root, from the base. Because that way, you put the fire off once and for all. Amen. But if you try to put it off from the top, it spreads. Okay? It's the same thing with addiction. I believe that it must be dealt with from the root. The Bible declares that we all have sinned. Amen? We all have sinned. And the truth is that addiction of any kind is birthed out of the fallen man. It's birthed out of the fallen nature. Let's look at Genesis 1, 26. Genesis 1, 26. God made man. Amen. He says, then God said, let us make man in our own image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Amen. So when you look at this, God made man in his own image. Amen. Then we go to Genesis 2, verse 7. It says, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living thing. So when I look at this, I see that when we were created, when man was created, he was created to have the same image that God has. Which means satisfied, amen, secured, a man of significance, amen. But guess what? When man fell, man lost all that. And so what we now have is man craving for something to make him look significant, amen. God breathed his life into man, breathed his life into a clay, and brought forth the body, which is the physical and the spiritual. And God clearly said that on the day that man will eat of that fruit, man will die. But he was talking about the spiritual death, which means the relationship between man and God was severed. Amen? And the active root of sin was lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life. So today's man's craving has always been instigated by those three things. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Because when man died, we lost the three most important things in our life, which was placed in man from the Creator. The personal attitude that made man whole. That personal attitude that made me, or made man, that gave man identity, that gave man security, that gave man significance, were all eroded when Adam and Eve sinned. Amen? So Neil Anderson says in his book, the effects of Adam and Eve's sin were immediate. All the personal attributes that had been inherent in man from creation, which is spiritual life, identity, acceptance, security, and significance, were all gone. Amen. And when I was looking at this, I then realized that sometimes we become so angry and upset with addicts. And seriously, I'm not being flippant here, because I know how painful it can be for families. But I also know that according to the word of God, man is not wrestling with flesh and blood. We're wrestling with the fall, with the sin nature that is inherent in man. Okay. And so the only way where we can help addicts is not by treating them. How do I put it? It's not by attacking them from the physical point. It needs to be done spiritually before you begin to go to the physical level. There's a guy called Bill Sobrisky. I don't know if any of you have heard of him. Bill Sobrisky is Australian. When you take someone to Bill Sobrisky, he ministers in deliverance. If you take anybody to Bill Sobrisky, Bill Sobrisky will not deal with what you've brought the person in for. He will start from asking the person, are you saved? Do you know Jesus? It doesn't really matter what it is. Bill will lead them to the Lord first before dealing with the issue. So what is he doing? He's dealing with the root. Amen. You know, the tall oak tree, apparently I understand that the height of that oak tree is the same length of the root, so that it can hold it firm in the ground. Okay? But when you look at them, you see it spreads all the way. I live very close to a lake, and there's a tall tree at the back of the house. The way the root is stretched out is actually breaking the ground and destroying some of the patches where we live. Now, if you want to kill that tree, I've noticed that so many times we bring the people in, they chop the tree down. Within 2-3 weeks, it's grown again. But the only way to deal with it is to kill the root. Amen? And it's the same thing with anybody that is suffering from any sort of addiction. Amen? Ephesians 2, verse 2. Says, because of sin, the whole world is under the control of sin. Hallelujah. So, what addicts are doing, it's the cause of sin. Because they've lost identity, they've lost security, they've lost significance, and they're looking for it from somewhere. And because of the sin of man, we do not realize who we are in Christ. Okay? And Romans 7, verse 5 says, the sinful passions aroused by law were at work in our body. So what is he saying? The things they do is because of the passion of sin. Okay? And so what it's doing is dragging them towards those things that will destroy them. And they do not realize that their body is a temple of the living God. Because let's look at it. When we were created, God breathed into us. What was he doing? It was his own life that came into us. Amen. I know one of the scriptures in the Bible which Paul says, what I want to do, I do not do, but what I do not want to do, that's what I do. So there are quite a lot of people there who do not want to be addicted to the things they're addicted to. I think sometimes we think, oh, how can they be so silly? How can they do this? But these people cannot control themselves. Amen. There are quite a lot of things that I could go into which I've been reading, but unfortunately time will not permit. Okay? People struggle with things, and you're looking at them and you're saying, Why can't you control yourself? Why are you behaving like this? We get angry with them. But the truth is that the Bible clearly says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Amen? And so where is the first place to help these people? I believe the first place to help them is to love them. Amen? And I believe that love actually sets people free. Addicts want to know that they are not condemned. They need to know that they are loved. And this is the first place of dealing with the root of the matter. Because when you really look at it, when you look at the causes of addiction, you find out that it's to do with, some of them to do with family breakdown, is to do with the fact that maybe when they were young, they were not accepted, and so they're creating their own world of fantasy. They're hiding their pains and sorrow where in the substance. And so what we now need to do is to begin to love them. Amen. Do you know the Bible says perfect love casts out fear? Amen. We need to begin to love them. The second thing I think we should do, and this is more on the part of the addict, is for the addict to become transparent. They must admit that they need help. So the first step to recovery for an addict is to be transparent. They must admit they have a problem. They must speak the truth. They must speak to people. You know, I was reading in Neil Anderson's book, and he said something which was quite strong for me, and I thought, yeah, that's true. You know, Bill Clinton, when he was caught, or when he was accused of having sex with that young girl, Monica Lewinsky, you know, all he needed to do was to admit that what he did was wrong, or that he has that problem. When you're an addict, you need to admit that you have the problem. When you admit that you have a problem, that's when you can be helped. If you do not admit that you have a problem, you can't be helped. But the problem I find is that most addicts are too ashamed to tell you what they're going through. Amen. And that's why love will be so helpful for them. That's why it's so helpful for them that they're not judged. Amen. That's why it's so helpful that we draw them closer. And that's why the Bible says, perfect love casts out fear. The third thing I found out is that we as their families or friends or relationships should not cover them up. Okay? Sometimes we cover up for addicts. You cannot afford to cover up for addicts. Because they are like misbehaving children who are really looking for help. And what they're doing is they're crying out, they're saying, we need help, we need help. But instead of us helping them, we're either covering them up because we also, as a family, are too ashamed to admit that, oh, my husband has a problem, my wife has a problem, my child has a problem. You get what I'm saying? So we're covering up for them. And the more you cover up for them, you're not doing them any favor. Amen? And I've written here, I've said, call it whatever you will, but addicts need help. They need help. Let us love them and get them to a place where they can get help. If you know, speak to your pastor. Speak to anybody that can help them. Okay? And you see, we've got to let them know that the reason why we're doing it is because we love them. Because some of them sometimes will feel that, oh, you're disgracing me. You're telling the world all about me. But no, you've got to tell them that they need help. And love is helping them. Reporting them to their pastor is helping them. You know, you're not disgracing them. You're not saying, oh, to the world, can you see he's a drunkard? Is this? No, you're taking them to a place where they can find help. And what you're doing to them is letting them know that you love them, and that's why you will not allow them to destroy themselves. Mm-hmm. Amen. You know, the good news is that the Bible says that for this reason, Christ came. Okay? Why did he come? The Bible says he came to destroy the works of the evil one. Amen. Hallelujah. Addicts will find victory when they know that Christ can set them free. Amen. Let's look at 1 John 3, 8, 9. Because that's where the good news is found. 1 John 3, 8, 9. You see, before I started this, this teaching, let me be truthful to you. I was slightly on the judgmental part, where you see an addict and you're like, oh, can they control themselves? But I know now a lot better. And you know, whilst I was preparing this, the Lord just took me back to some few years ago. There was a young man whom I saw on the street. We went out evangelizing and I saw him on the street. And it's amazing how this happens. And I witnessed to him about Jesus Christ. And after I finished witnessing to him about Jesus Christ, he then said to me, okay, you've witnessed to me about Jesus Christ. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But guess what? I don't know where I'm going to sleep tonight. So I said, okay, you know what? Come home with me and I'll find a place for you to sleep at home in my house. I didn't tell my wife. And I took him home. It was when I got to him, I finally said to my wife, oh, I met him on the street, I've led him to the Lord. It was like, darling, do you know what you're doing? But we allowed him to sleep. But he was a chain smoker. And I remember that night he said to me, look, you've led me to the Lord, but I want to stop smoking. I said, okay, let's pray. So we just prayed and I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, break this addiction. Do you know the following morning, he took a stick of cigarette and he couldn't smoke it. Amen. He couldn't smoke. 1 John 3:8 says the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the work of the devils. And says no one born of God will continue to sin because God's seed does what? Remain in him. Amen. And that's why the Bible says he who's born of God cannot sin. And that's why we always need to take people back to the Word of God. Amen. Addicts, whatever they are addicted to, must realize that they are not addicts but children of God. Why? Because God's seed remains in them. Amen? And when God's seed is in you, there will always be a witness to say, what you're doing to yourself is not good. What you're doing to your body is not right. Except we become tired of hearing, then we won't hear the Holy Spirit challenging us not to do it. Amen? They need to know who they are in Christ. Many of us as Christians have only partial understanding of the gospel. And what do I mean by that? We understand that, okay, Christ died for me, he saved me, and I'm going to heaven. But we seem to forget that there are deeper things that Christ did for us. There are more exchanges that Christ brought when he died on the cross. Amen. And so we need to begin to let addicts know that greater is he that is in them than he who is in the world. Amen. 1 John 5:12 says, he who has the Son, guess what? Has life. Amen. He who does not have the Son does not have life. So if we have an addict who is a Christian, and please hear me well here, I'm talking more from the Christian perspective. Okay? He who has Christ has life. But he who does not have Christ does not have life. So what is he saying? He says, if you're in Christ, you're victorious. If you're in Christ,
you're alive. Because Christ said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Which means the life of God in you will keep you joyful. The life of God in you will keep you alert. Amen? You know, the book of Colossians says that Jesus made an open show of powers and principalities. Okay, he disarmed them. So if you're in Christ, an addict who is a born-again Christian, who is a Christian, is victorious. And that's what we need to constantly let them know. Amen. What we need to know is that addicts are struggling with something far beyond their control. And it's only Jesus who can bring freedom and the victory needed. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Amen. There is freedom. But you know, most importantly, like I said to you earlier, starting with from the root, we now need to take them to a point of repentance. You know, Romans 12, 1 says that we should present our body as what? As a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto the Lord. Guess what? It has to be holy for it to be acceptable. Mm-hmm. Amen. Sometimes we can just say, oh, present your body as a living sacrifice unto the Lord, holy and acceptable. But it has to be holy and acceptable. Why? Because when we look at our body, when we go back to Genesis, we were created in his own image, and he breathed a breath into us, and we became living beings. So we carry the presence of God. So the Bible says we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And this is what we've got to allow addicts to know. And because they have defiled that temple, they need to repent. Amen. They need to acknowledge their sin. That yes, I know what I've done is a sin. I shouldn't have done that. I've defiled the temple of the living God. You know, the Bible says that whosoever defiles the temple of God will be destroyed. And because they don't want to be destroyed, they have to repent. Amen. To renounce it is just half repentance, half of the repentance. They need to know that, okay, I have sinned. That's the first beat. But my body is a temple of the living God. And because my body is a temple of the living God, I'm not going to put any substance in this body. I'm not going to do anything to this body that will destroy the temple of the living God. Amen? So there has to be, the next thing is, once they've repented, there has to be a renewal of mind. Hallelujah. They have to know the truth and accept the truth. Which means, because this body is a temple of the living God, we're not going to misuse it. I was with some of my pastor friends a few days ago, and we were chatting, and someone said, let's pray for sickness. So many of us are falling sick. So many of us are this. And in one of those, my moods, I just said, look, let me be truthful. This has nothing to do with the devil. It's because we're not looking after our bodies. I said, look, we just need to rest and exercise the body. The Bible says physical exercise profits little, which means there's a little bit of profiting in it. But we just go on and on and on. It's the same thing with addicts. They keep abusing the body. They need to know that this body is a temple of God and it needs to be looked after. Okay. Hallelujah. I said to someone yesterday, I said, if you buy a house, where do you start renovating from? Is it from outside or from inside?
Inside.
So, our body, you look at the outside, it looks okay, but there's a problem in the inside. So we need to start working from the inside. Okay? We need to begin to say, I will not yield my members to sin. I will not yield my member as instrument to sin. And then what do? We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit again. So that's what we're going to do to them. Okay, you've renounced the sin, you've acknowledged it, now you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, the alternative to getting drunk is being filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. If we're filled with the Holy Spirit, guess what? We will not fulfill the law of the flesh. Because addiction is fulfilling the law of the flesh. Do you know what Ephesians 5:18 says? Let's look at it. Ephesians 5:18 to 20. Who can tell me when people get drunk? I'm not saying you're drunk yet, but you do see them sometimes. You probably see them in films. One of the things you see is if they're not talking, dragging, they're probably singing, getting high and happy. Isn't that so? Mm-hmm. Does the Holy Spirit do that to you?
Yes.
Amen? So look at here. It says, do not get drunk, that's 18, on wine, which leads to debauchery. That's all kind of sins, all kind of attitude that does not glorify God. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and what?
Spiritual songs.
Hallelujah. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a person who is drunk or who's high on anything, guess what? When they are excited and they're singing, who do you think they're singing to? To the devil. It's not to God. And that's why they need to come back and get filled with the Holy Spirit so that they can sing spiritual songs to God. Hallelujah. Renew your minds. They need to renew their minds. We need to take them to a place where they begin to renew their minds. We have to renew our minds, fill our minds with scriptures. Psalm 119, verses 9 to 11, says, how can a young man cleanse his ways? He says it's by hiding his word in his heart. And then he goes on to say, your word, O Lord, have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Amen. So we need to take addicts to that point where they begin to fill their mind with scriptures. Hallelujah. They need to know who they are. And there are three areas that they need to know, that they need to conquer, because those are the three areas they struggle with. First is self-acceptance. Second is security. And third is significance. And I'm sure some of you all still have the handouts that Brad Chooks gave to you guys some few weeks ago. How many of you remember? In that, he was talking about, one, I'm accepted. John 1:12 says, I'm God's child. You know that. John 15:15, I'm Christ's friend. Because Christ said, I no more call you servant, but I call you friends. You remember that? So when it comes to acceptance, you've got to know that you are God's. They need to know that they're God's children. They are friends of God. They have been justified. They're united with the Lord. Amen? And they're one spirit with Him. And they need to know that they've been bought with a price and they belong to God. And then it comes to the place of security. They need to know that they're free from condemnation. They're assured that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. And then they need to come to a point of knowing their significance. And they can say, I am the salt and the light of the earth. I am a branch of true vine and a channel of His life. So they need to know all this. It's there. I'm sure Brad Chooks, it was the same one you gave, something of this one that you gave to them the last time. Where he's talking about self-acceptance, significance. Okay, because what I can do, I might have to get this one out for you, okay, so that you then have two. If the other one is, so that you can have a fuller version. Is that okay with you? Okay. But that's one of the helps you need to give. And then I went on to practical help. What are the practical ways to help them? Because I've told you about the spiritual side. You see, why did I say that? Let's start with the spiritual side. Because what I've discovered is that there are so many people that out in the world that they take them to rehabilitation and they come back out and they fall into it again. The reason, like I said, is because the root cause has not been dealt with. Amen. Because they need to realize that what they have done, what they're doing to their body is sin. and it's against the will of God. You need to get them to help themselves. The AA says, this Alcoholic Anonymous say, they believe that drunkards need to hit bottom in some ways before they admit that they're powerless to control themselves. So what AA will do is say, what AA say, just let them get to that point where they're almost destroying themselves. But that's not what God wants. Okay? But it's needed. Another practical way is for them to be detoxed, to go for detoxication. And this is a procedure that must involve the intervention of a physician. And what some physicians do is to bring sobering agents, which is a substance that will counteract the actual substance they're taking. And in some cases, they begin to reduce it gradually. Okay. Another one is for the pornography one. This is quite key. The computer needs to be removed. Okay? And if you're going to use the computer, put it in a communal area where everyone can see what you're doing. Okay? You need people to monitor your activities on the internet. Like AOL, I don't know about other providers, but like AOL has the master and it has the support. So if you ask the person who you want to monitor you to take the support and to take the master. So on the master, they can tick that whichever site you go to should be reported. So they give you like secondary access and they have primary access. That helps also, because I do that with my children. Every site they go to gets reported back to me that they've been on this part on particular sites. And then there are some sites that they can't go into because I've blocked those sites. Okay? Be accountable. They need to be accountable. Okay? And one thing we need to be prepared for is that the person can relapse. They can go back into it. So let's not just think, oh, that's it. We need to be aware that they can have a relapse and constantly be helpful to them. This is an area that sometimes people don't think about. The family will need counseling. The family will need counseling. Because addiction normally doesn't just affect the person, it affects the whole family. So the whole family needs to be counseled on how they're going to deal with it. The addicts must constantly be encouraged to give up. Okay? And they need to build relationship with other believers. If they're believers, they need to build relationship with other believers. Because iron sharpens iron. Okay. The church, amen. What did I say? The church wasn't the first time. A cruise boat. It's a lifeboat. Church must be prepared to offer confidential and sympathetic support. Which means, if someone has come to you and said, this is what I'm suffering from, please help them. Don't begin to tell people, have you heard? Hey, I don't believe it. I've always thought he was very spiritual. Yes, that's a good word. It's like, oh, Adam, I have a prayer request for Brother Franklin. And then you go, oh, what's the prayer request? You won't believe this. That's no more prayer request. It's a gossip request. Yes. Amen. So we need to give support. Hallelujah. And for people on pornography, there are some websites. Because there's some websites. You have covenanteyes.com. You have rsaministries.org. And other areas. You have Focus on the Family. You have AA. Then you have faithfultrueministries.com. And this is still for pornography. Okay? Hallelujah. And then, just remember to constantly pray for them. For spiritual guidance. And ask God to show you why they're seeking comfort in that thing. And then also help them to understand that seeking comfort in whatever they are doing negates the word of God. Because because what they are doing is now putting their trust in that substance and not in God. The Bible says, the Lord is our shepherd, and we shall not want. We shall not lack. Amen. Hallelujah. And believe God's power to demolish strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God in doing what? Pulling down strongholds, pulling down imaginations. Hallelujah. Amen. And trust God's unfailing love and forgiveness. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
If you have been blessed by this message, please don't hesitate to contact us at www.wordoflife-lcc.org. And remember, God loves you.